Okay, it's a great encouragement when you're preaching, when what happens before in the service sort of think, oh yeah. So when Pete said, we were looking at the words of the song, and he's saying, we've sung this lots and lots of times, we've sung the words, but quite often we don't actually stop and think what they mean. Well, I know you're all very spiritual people here, so I know that you can all quote me quite a lot of scripture off by heart, right? I'm sure, nod your heads, go on. But God said to me this week, it's very easy to read or to quote very well-known bits of the Bible, but actually quite a lot of the depth in it passes right over. So what we're going to do is, this morning, we're going to look at a very well-known bit of the Bible, and we're going to make sure that we get it. All right? That's the... So we're following on from making sure that we understand what we read. We don't just go, oh, yeah. And that's how it is. Now, we're going back into the Old Testament this morning. If you walked out into Clevedon and you asked the man or the woman in the street, do you know any bits of the Old Testament? For those of them who said, yes, I think I do, what do you think they might know? Sorry? That's a possibility.
The flood,
right? Psalm 23. Now we're on the money. Because what we're going to talk about this morning is Psalm 23. this is a function of my age, but when I was at school, we had to learn this by heart. I don't suppose they do that now, but so it's kind of embedded somewhere in my brain cells. And God just said, walk through the psalm and just make sure that you see it. So what I'm essentially going to give you this morning is bullet points. Because I think if you sit and read this carefully, this is one of the most powerful statements in the scriptures of all that God wants to be for us as we walk through life. And it would be a shame if we missed out just because it's too familiar. All right? So we'll try and change that this morning. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us this morning from your word. We will hear what you've got to say. We will understand what you've got to say, and it will encourage us and bless us and enable us to go on stronger in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Right then, well, nothing better if we could ask our lovely media assistant there to bring it up. Right. What comes up there is one version. What I've got on the phone is another, but don't worry about it. I've got the English Standard Version. That's all right. It's fine. I don't think it's so different that it's gonna cause you, you know, major problems. Got it? That's fine. So, let's start at the top, as they say. In the version I learnt at school, the first bit is, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." That's probably how most of us remember that bit, right? So, from the very start, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." What does a shepherd actually do? Well, yes, that's good. It's something to do with sheep. We're on the right track. sorry, gathers the sheep. Looks after the sheep. I would suggest to you, and because I'm preaching, I must be right, that there are two fundamental things that the sheep do. That the shepherd does. The sheep could do what they like. first of all, the shepherd is there to make sure that the sheep get fed. All right, because it's, not to put too fine a point on it, it's in the shepherd's interest for the sheep to grow. So one of the big jobs of the shepherd is to make sure that the sheep grow. So the Lord is my shepherd. One of the things he's very interested in, us growing, not just getting bigger, but growing in our spirits. Our spirits grow, because that's how we move on in God. As we understand more of it, our spirits grow. The other thing that the shepherd does, is, which I think is his other main activity, he protects the sheep. Stops the sheep from being eaten by wolves and lions and wherever you happen to be. So at the very beginning of this psalm, God is saying, I am helping you to grow and I'm keeping you safe. That's a good start, folks. Okay? All right, the next verse is, or the next bit is, yes. He makes me lie down by green pastures. Green pastures are green because they're growing. So God is taking us to places where there's something fresh, something new, something growing, something that's going to do us good. And freshness in God comes from having our relationship with God. Now, this is a big difference, folks, between if you have a relationship with God and you regard your relationship with God as religious. There's nothing fresh, I have to say, about religion. Doing the same thing every single time without necessarily thinking why you're doing it or what the purpose of it is, that is not fresh. That doesn't keep you going. That doesn't keep you stirred up, blessed, moving on. But God takes us to green pastures where everything is fresh and new. And by encouraging each other to keep our relationship with God up, then we keep up this freshness. God's got something new to tell you every single day, if you can be bothered to listen to it, is the truth. So there is an infinite freshness in what God has for us and what he wants to tell us and what he wants to bring to us. And we would be silly if we missed it. Yeah? So green pastures means freshness. Freshness. Nothing. Not the same old, same old, same old. Freshness. Right. Put my specs back on again. Oh, yes. He leads me beside still waters. Now, Chris will probably know this, but I didn't until I looked it up. Sheep will not drink from flowing water. Sheep will only drink from still water, mostly. If it's on Google, it must be right. I mean, come on, folks. So that's quite interesting. So God is taking his sheep to places where they get what they need in a way that they can cope with. Yeah? That makes sense? So he wants to give you what you need, but he's not going to hit you over the head with it because you won't cope with that. He's going to do it in a way that you can work with. So God is always trying to get good things to you, but in a way you can deal with. Sounds good to me. So, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I spent quite a lot of time researching this, and there were all sorts of things. But I thought this bit was brilliant. This is he restores my soul. This is somebody's definition of what it means. And it said, he came to set you free, to do whatever it takes to get you out of the mess you're in. Brilliant. He came to set you free, to do whatever it takes to get you out of the mess you're in. Now, we all have big messes and small messes. But God wants to restore things. And restore things is not just a sort of patch them up, put some sticky tape over it so you can't see it, but it's actually to completely solve the problem, right? So if we are in situations, and we will all be or all have been in situations where we're really, we're making a complete dog's breakfast of it, to be honest. We're all very capable of doing that. But God will restore. He will set us free and do what it takes to get us through the mess that he hasn't caused, we've caused. But because of his love, he will set us free and he will. So restoring your soul is about getting you back on the right track, right? And he leads me in paths of righteousness because there is a right track for you. There is a path of righteousness for you. God has a plan for you. It's not random, folks. Life is not random. Lots of people think it is, but with God it's not. There's an A and a B. Now, sometimes we go like that, sometimes we go, but there is an A and there is a B. And God wants to take us down the paths of righteousness that he has planned for us. And if from time to time he needs to restore our souls so that we stop making a dog's breakfast and we can get back on track, well, he'll do that. That's fine. But he has a plan. And I think this is quite important. And it leads us in parts of righteousness for his name's sake. Because if you look out there, I'm sure I said this the last time I preached, it's probably the craziest world that we've all lived in for quite a long time at the moment, all right? Things are going, nothing's very predictable, you can't tell what's going to happen next, right? But if we are able to show that God has restored our soul, God has provided for us, God has kept us safe in the midst of this madness, then that is something that we can tell other people and God gets the glory. So this is about God doing everything for us so that we can say to people, look what God has done for me, look what God has done for us as a church. And it's not that we're, oh, I'm wonderful. But it's that God is working and is here doing stuff. And that way God gets the glory, right? Which is why the paths of righteousness are for his name's sake. Because we're just stating what God has done for us based on what we've experienced and what we've seen to the glory of God. Yes? With me so far? Oh, good. Right then. Oh, yes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, the valley of the shadow of death is a dark place. It's not necessarily just about death. The valley of the shadow of death is a dark place, and we all walk through dark places in times. We have all walked through, we all probably will, from time to time, walk through dark places. And that's what the valley of the shadow of death is kind of about. But the important thing here is, I will fear no evil. And what that means is, it's not just a statement, but what it means is that you are confident in God that evil will not run your life. Evil will not determine what happens in your life. I'm not saying you won't get attacked. I'm not saying there won't be issues. I'm not saying it's smooth and light, the whole way through. But evil will not run our lives, not control what happens to us. It will try, that's for sure, but it won't. Because God is with us. His rod, the shepherd used the rod to basically keep predators and things away from the sheep. So he's hitting someone with a stick. Probably a bit more sophisticated than that, but that will stay in your minds, I'm sure. So God is protecting us. So we're walking through these dark places. God is protecting us. And the staff, I looked this up and there are umpteen things, but the major thing that the staff was used for, that when it all got a bit much for the shepherds, They put the staff in the ground and they leaned on it to get a bit of rest. So it's there to give you support. So when it all gets a bit much, you put your staff in the ground and you go, oh, blimey. And you get respite. You get rest. But the other thing that the shepherd used the staff for is if some stupid sheep gets stuck in a hedge or something like that, you can use the staff to pull it out. So you're rescuing the sheep, right? So you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to let evil run your life, because God is there to protect you. God is there to give you rest when it all gets a bit much. And, you know, to be honest, we all get to that point. And God is there to rescue us from the thorns and the prickles and the things that are trying to do us down. So, yes, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't have to fear it, like it says. And that's why we don't have to fear it, because God is there with us, protecting us, giving us rest when we need it, when it all gets there. But also rescuing us, yeah? So that's good. We're doing good, I think, so far. I like this bit. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, preparing a table is a good thing. And to be invited to a table that God has prepared for you has to be a really special thing. Yeah? But so what does it mean about it being done in the presence of our enemies? Now, you may or may not think you have some human enemies, and I can't speak for that, but you certainly have spiritual ones, all right? You certainly have spirits who are from the devil who want to do you down. Let's not beat about the bush. That's how it is. So when I was asking God what this is about, he said, this is it. Can you remember in the New Testament when Jesus is baptized and he comes up out the river and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There you are. You see, I can quote some bits of scripture. God said to me, this is essentially what I'm saying to the enemies. This is my insert name here, with whom I am well pleased. So we're all welcome at the table, and God is saying, look, I brought this person in because I love them. They are with me. And he's sort of making a statement to the spiritual forces that God is with us, and therefore they have no claim on us. In James chapter 4, don't worry to bring this up, it says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's, so we are submitting ourselves to God. We're sitting at his table. We're taking up the invitation. We're doing what he's asked us to do. So we can then turn round to the enemies, to the devil, to the spiritual forces, and say, they will flee. Not because of us, but because of God. Yeah? And that, I think that's quite an... It all sounds slightly vague, but in the practicalities of life, the attacks from evil forces are a reality. And we need to learn how to deal with it. And God has given us everything we need to do, because he's basically saying, this is my friend, doodly-doo, with whom I'm well pleased. Therefore, leave him alone. And we can claim that. We can say, we're relying on God, go away in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's even stronger in the New Testament when we can use the word, but this is good even then, right? This is good stuff. So we don't have to be bullied, which is really what spiritual forces want to do, bully you into doing what they want you to do. We don't have to be. We don't have to be. Because God is saying, yeah, this is my friend, and I'm with them. Sounds good to me. Now, where are we? Oh, yes. You anoint my head with oil. Now, I did some research on this too. We tend to think of anointing being something with oil, being something to do with priesthood. But actually, when the psalm was written, anointing with oil was a way of welcoming people because they had walked through the dusty, hot Middle East. They didn't have air conditioning then. And they used to come to your house, and you would welcome them by anointing them with fragrant oil. And it was a way of saying, welcome, we're glad to see you. So God is saying, welcome, I'm glad to see you. Yeah? That's what the anointing with oil means in this context. And it's great. Isn't it brilliant? God's saying, yeah, come on in. Works for me. I don't know about you guys, but it sounds great. So God is pleased that we're there. And the more that we go to God, the more he is pleased that we have come. Because this table, like people saying, go round and round and round, constantly there. And we can make as many, we can fall flat on our faces, as I think Claire said, often enough. But every time we get up, the door is open and the table is there. And we're welcome to it. But welcome at it, yeah. And this again, and it says, "My cup overflows." And when you're sitting at the table and this cup is overflowing, it's not just so you make a mess on the tablecloth. It's so that you have more than you need, and you can give away what you have to somebody else. And this, folks, is important because this is how the kingdom of God works. God will bless you with all the things that he will bless you with, but you will, if you're open for it, you will always get more than you need, but you will have some for what other people need. And this is why, as a church, we need to go forward together, because the little bit I have to that overflows from me, I need to pass over to you. The above bits that you have that overflow from you, you need to pass over to me. And that's how it works. That's how we, together, we have everything we need because our cups, plural, overflow. Yeah? And it's very, very important. There is no sense whatsoever in scripture of your cup overflowing so that you can sit in the corner with a big smile on your face feeling smug. It's about working together. It's about having what we need together. One person can't have every single thing a church needs, but 30, 40 people can. That's how it works. That's how the kingdom of God works. So be very happy that your cup overfloweth, as they say in the old days. But make sure that you think to yourself, who can I be helping, praying? We all have different things we can bring. Some are practical, some are spiritual, some are, you know, whatever. But they all have a part. And there's always somebody for whom that which you have is that which they need. Yeah? And it's a case of praying, asking God, who do I need to do this? Who do I need to help? Doodly-doo, right? It's very important because that's how it's going to work here. That's the only way it's going to work here. So that's very important. Your cup floweth over for a very good reason. Yeah? Okay. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of our lives. Goodness is God blessing us with all sorts of things that we don't deserve. And mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. So they go hand in hand. Goodness and mercy. God is always giving us good things, whether we've earned them or not, and quite likely we haven't. And he's making sure we don't get bad things, even though we might be prime candidates for it. Yeah? So goodness and mercy is a good thing to have as a combination to go with you all through the days of your life. Goodness, because you haven't earned it, but God wants to bless you anyway. Mercy, because you have earned it, but God doesn't give it to you. Yeah? And that's surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, the house, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever starts now. Doesn't start when you die. So all of this stuff is dwelling in the house of the Lord, and all the implications of it is for now. And after you die, of course. But it is for now. It's real for now. And we need to just make sure that we get all the things that God wants to be to us so that we get it for now. Yeah? Get it for now, and we work it for now. So it's quite a lot of things there. Let me just go back and summarize what I think are the key things that God is saying in this psalm about what he wants to do, what he wants to do for us as we go through life with its ups and downs and bumps and doodly-doos, right? So first of all, he wants to keep us safe. He wants to bring us protection. Yeah? So God wants to be our protector as we go through life. He wants to give us food for growth. He wants to give us provision so that we have everything that we need, but we also have that which is left over to give to others so we can work together. So God wants to give us safety and protection. He wants to give us food and provision. When we need rest, he will give us rest. When it all gets a bit much, and if I asked you to put your hand up and say you haven't got to a point sometime in your life when it's all got a bit much, if you don't put your hands up, you'd be lying to me. Because it's just how it is. So he will give us rest when that's what we need. And he will restore things when they go wrong. He will restore things when they go wrong. I'm going to be thinking now of falling flat on my face lots of times just because Claire said it. And it's just sort of stuck. And then, oh, yeah, boing, boing, boing. And but every single time, God will restore us. So he brings restoration as a constant thing. But however many times he has to do that, he still has a plan for us, an A to B. We may make it a lot more complicated than going in a straight line. We may go up to the Alps and down to the bottom of the sea and up again and ba-da-da-da-do. But the A to B is still there. God has a plan for us. God has paths of righteousness for us. He has a plan for us. And very importantly, folks, God will take away fear. God will take away fear. We just need to go to him. He will be blessed to take away our fear. Completely cripples you from doing anything useful. Right? True? Because you just go, ugh. But God will take away fear so that we can do what he wants us to do and what's good for us. And lastly, God is always welcoming. So we can turn up at the table that he has laid out for us as often as we like, and he's pleased to see us, pleased that we're there, and pleased to tell other people that he's pleased that we're there, if you see what I mean. So we can always go back to the welcoming nature of God. He wants to see us as often as he can. So the more we go to God and say, look, this is how things are, this is good, this is bad, I'm worried about this, I'm sorting this out, he's really happy about that. So the more we keep going to God and sitting down at this table and talking, you actually exchange a lot of quite useful information when you're sitting down having a meal with somebody. So God will actually talk to you and will actually say, right, well, we can do this. You can pray for this. We can work this. So we are welcome at his table, not just for a general chat, but for working out the things that need to be worked out in our daily lives. And he has great things for us, will bless us in all sorts of ways that we don't deserve, but because of his love and his goodness, he wants to bless us anyway. Yeah? You get that? So, safety and protection, food for growth and provision for things that are needed, rest when you really need rest, restoration when things go wrong, the ability not to be fearful, and a welcome for you at any time at the table of God. Now that, folks, is not normally what is preached from Psalm 23, but I think this is a really comprehensive list of all that God is and all that God wants to be for us, every single one of us here as individuals and as a group. Yeah? And I suggest from time to time we just go back to it and think, oh yeah, it's a bit more than the Lord is my shepherd. There's all sorts of stuff here. And that will do us good. Amen.